Good morning. Welcome on this first Sunday in October, World Communion Sunday. Amen? I have to tell you the morning joke. A fellow had to have a portion of his brain removed, and they said, well, we ought to put something back in there. He says, so we can give you a transplant of some brain material. The guy says, okay. He says, and the doctor says, you have to decide where we get the material. He said, if you want the brain material from an engineer, it's $200 an ounce. If you want brain material from an artist, it's $400 an ounce. The man nodded and he says, and if you want brain material from a politician, it's $1,000 an ounce. The man's jaw fell open and he said, what? He said, how can a politician's brain be more expensive than an engineer or an artist? The doctor says, do you know how many politicians it takes to make an ounce worth of brain material? We can live with that one today in our current political environment. By way of announcements, we do have communion this morning. I think most everyone here is familiar with our communion routine, but we have open communion, and I want to make sure everyone knows that. You are welcome to come forward. We will serve as is our traditional manner. Deb Gunther is already standing. There's lots going on this week. Deb, tell us.
Well, actually, it's next week, but I will start with the list that Aurora Interfaith needs, and we're taking food on Crop Walk Day, which is Sunday the 20th. The things that we need, and I will put this in the narthex, are rice-a-roni, hamburger helper, pasta, pasta sauce, peanut butter, canned vegetables and fruit, canned tuna, canned chicken, ketchup, mustard, romaine noodles. Any of this of help is greatly appreciated, and I will take any and all the day of the crop walk. Thank you.
Debbie, thank you. You should also mission coordinator, mission chair, she would want us to remember that we are taking donations to help with Hurricane Helene. If you hadn't been aware of that, UMCOR, the United Methodist Committee on Relief, we are always first in wherever we go because we live there. There was a flood years ago, about a decade ago in northern Colorado, you recall? Johnstown Church, which I was serving, was one of those that was afflicted. I got a call. They said, quote, what do you need? What do your church need? What do your people need? So the very first ones there, the very first ones to take care of us, give generously to UMCOR. You can just put a check, put UMCOR in there, or put in Helene. I don't know the number. They figure all that out. But thank you, and thank you for helping take care of people, our neighbors, our brothers and sisters in need. Sandy Tenney, I didn't mean to leave you hanging. Please.
I can hang. Saturday is the Women's Society. It is nominations month. I'm sure there's a lot of women that are going to throw their names forward for all the open offices. And it's at 10 o'clock in the parlor.
The other joke for this morning. Thank you, Sandy. Please come. Yeah, wonderful. And the UMCOR women are the women of faith now. Is that right?
Yes.
Women of faith has always been the core, the bedrock of the church. Other announcements, things for the good of the order, things we need to remember. Ellen Smith Doctor, please.
I just wanted to let everybody know this is the last day to order pecans if you're interested. It's $13 a pound, and I will be here after church. And also, we did put my cell phone in the bulletin several weeks ago, but they could refer to that as well. Thank you.
Thank you. After this Sunday, it's pecans gone.
Pecans gone.
Other announcements for the good of the order. Seems like there was one other, but I will remember it when it's too late. It doesn't matter. Are we ready to begin worship?
Yes.
Do you have all of those agenda things written down? Can you put them at the back of your minds? Let us focus our attention on our Lord God. Amen? Stand and wave hello to one another, and let us turn to our call to worship.
Remain standing and we will recite our call to worship. Precious and loving Lord, we have walked in our integrity.
We have trusted you, Lord, without wavering.
Teach us, O Lord.
Refine us, Lord. Refine our hearts and minds.
Guide us, O Lord.
Teach us, Lord, to keep your steadfast love before our eyes.
Guide us, Lord.
Lord, we
beseech you, and guide us to walk in faithfulness to you. Our first hymn is in the regular hymnal, number 369, Blessed Assurance. Our first scripture today, oh yeah, you may be seated. First scripture today is from Job chapter 1, verses 1, and then in chapter 2, 1 through 10. There once was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. How many people know where Uz is? Well, we finally found out it's down around the Sinai Peninsula. I looked it up because I had no idea where Uz was. That man was blameless and upright, one who feared God and turned away from evil. One day the heavenly beings came to present themselves before the Lord, and the accuser also came among them to present himself before the Lord. The Lord said to the accuser, "Where have you come from?" The accuser answered the Lord, "From going to and fro on the earth and from waking up, probably walking up and down on it." The Lord said to the accuser, "Have you considered my servant Job? There is no one like him on earth, a blameless and upright man who fears God and turns away from evil. He still persists in his integrity, although you have incited me against him to destroy him for no reason." Then the accuser answered the Lord, "Skin for skin, all that the man has, he will give for his life. But stretch out your hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse you to your face." The Lord said to the accuser, "Very well, he is in your power. Only spare his life." So the accuser went out from the presence of the Lord and inflicted loathsome sores on Job from the sole of his foot to the crown of his head. Job took a potsherd with which to scrape himself, to scrape off the sores, and sat among the ashes. Then his wife said to him, "Do you still persist in your integrity? Curse the God and die." But he said to her, "You speak as any foolish woman would speak. Shall we receive good from God and not receive evil?" In all this, Job did not sin with his lips. The word of the Lord. What? Oh, yes. Yes, we invite the ensemble up.
Give you life.
We come to our prayer time and pause. We want to acknowledge the list of people on the back of the bulletin. Do we have any information about any of those, any updates on people? Don, your dad doing okay? Settling in all right? Okay. Tom, when do you get that sling off? Another 4 or 5 weeks? Okay. And Mike is coming right down now. Hold your, you get that off tomorrow, did you tell me?
Friday.
Okay. So watch out, he'll be in running around causing trouble after he gets that off.
So.
Yeah, but he's got feeling back. Amen. Amen. Other concerns we want to lift, prayers that we need to have in our community. We continue to lift the latest toll I had heard in victims from Hurricane Helene was 210. Have you heard new numbers since then? 230. I have a feeling that story is not going to be done for a while. There are many communities up in the mountains cut off, completely isolated, so there are concerns about medicine and food, and most intriguingly and perhaps most ironically, water. All of the rain that came down, and now they're short of water. So prayers for them. Prayers for emergency responders. There are people going in there that are taking a lot of risks to themselves, but that's what we're about, caring for our brothers and sisters. Other concerns in our midst. Who else would we lift this morning? All right. What about celebrations? Anybody have any celebrations they'd like to lift this morning? Diana, over on the far right, left, my left, your right.
I just been thinking lately, I have a neighbor who, he's a renter, and you know how renters are, they come and go, but he's been there a while, and he has been just the blessing to me that I just can't believe. He and his wife are so good, and he has helped me with different projects and stuff, and I just want to give a celebration that he has moved there, and I'm hoping he stays forever. But
all right, for a neighbor who was helpful. Good neighbors are wonderful. I agree. Other concern, Paya has her hand up.
I think we're in Joyce, aren't we?
Please include Wandami Davis Jr. in your prayers. Today he turns 19 in El Paso, Texas.
Tell me his name again.
Wandami Davis Jr.
Wannabe. Okay, thank you. 19.
State champ. Long jump.
State. Okay, Michael's telling me long jump. The state champion in long jump. All right. Amen. Amen. Others, before I read my list, Holly and your husband's name is Robert. Bob. 44 years anniversary. Is that right on Freddie? Happy anniversary to you. Oh, yeah, did you forget for a minute there? Uh-huh, watch out. On Saturday, Monica Mathias having a birthday. We celebrate her husband, Joe. Saturday, I have here down that Samu has a birthday. Is Samu out here? Where is Samu? I don't see him right off. He might be skulking around somewhere. I haven't caught up with him. He's only 13? Good Lord, he's 13 going on 25. All right. Amen. Happy birthday to him. And Perry and Ruby Moore celebrating 67 years of marriage, so we celebrate them. Those are all of the names that I have on my list. Are there those that I have missed? Oh. Nancy had a birthday yesterday. Do you want to tell us how old Nancy? She was 21, right?
She's 21.
Yeah. All right, thank you. Happy birthday. That would have been October 5th. All right, others. Carol Danielson is trying to get your attention, Mike. I can't hear a word you're saying, so speak into the microphone, please.
Sandy said Perry and Ruby have been married 67 years.
That's what I said.
Oh, I thought you said 57.
No, I
couldn't hear you either.
I will try and speak more distinctly. 67, yes. Amen. Amen. Other celebrations in our marriage. You know, when we have a birthday, sometimes it doesn't seem like such a big deal, or sometimes we don't want it to be such a big deal. God knows. God is with us. God has blessed us. And in those milestones, God is with us. Amen? All right. No others? Nothing else for the prayer time? Last week, I forgot the unison prayer of the community. Let's read it together, if you will. Loving Lord, hear our prayer. Lord of the harvest, Lord of life and of death, we come before you today. We celebrate achievements and joys in our midst. We celebrate birthdays and anniversary. We celebrate families. In the midst of our celebration, Lord, there is sadness and pain. Let us remember those who are grieving. Where we can, Lord, guide us to offer care to those who are hurting. We remember brothers and sisters around the world. May we offer our care through our compassionate giving to reach beyond ourselves. Lord, be with those whose lives have been devastated by war, by division, and by disasters. Guide us, Lord, to serve our brothers and sisters as we serve you. Through Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. I invite you to a moment of silent meditation and prayer. Loving Lord God, we gather with you and we know that you hear every prayer and you're present to us. We are grateful. We are grateful for your presence with us that helps and sustains us. And we know that sometimes we forget to acknowledge you in good times, turning only in bad times. Guide us. Guide us to celebrate you at all times and all places, knowing your love, your care, your gifts to us. Lord, as we come and gather, we gather on a Sunday celebrating our brothers and sisters around the world. We celebrate them from worlds far away from us, nations distant, languages strange to us, customs beyond our ken, and yet still brothers and sisters. We celebrate people with languages and different ethnicities. We celebrate peoples with different ways of exploring the world and giving thanks to you. We celebrate with brothers and sisters in the coldest of places. We celebrate with brothers and sisters in the warmest of places. And Lord, as we journey around the world with our minds and thoughts and prayers, we also pray for those near at hand. Our brothers and sisters in North Carolina, Georgia, South Carolina, Tennessee, all of those places experiencing disasters of nature. Help them know our thoughts, our prayers, and our love and our care. Help them feel that they are not alone. Not only are we with them in prayer, but Lord, you are with them, for which we give you thanks. Lord, thank you for this church, for its leadership, for its this. All of the people that contribute in every sort of way, for everyone who even lifts a prayer, and for those who see the church and think of you, Lord, we lift them all and offer them up to you and give you thanks. Be with us, Lord. Be with us this morning as we celebrate Holy Communion. Be with us as we go from here to offer Christ. And hear us now as we join our voices with our brothers and sisters in the Lord's Prayer, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Our offertory, this is a wonderful opportunity, if you can remember, to write a check to UM Corps and, for donations. But we pause and celebrate all of the good among us. Colleen has an offertory.
Would you please stand for the reading of the gospel? This is from the book of Mark, the 9th chapter, verses 49 and 50. For everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good, but if salt has lost its saltiness, how can you season it? Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with one another. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I invite the Stephanie, Hadley, all of the young people, and everyone else who wants a little aerobic exercise, has a gift of dance and a spirit of celebrating God. Let's gather for our... before we get... Samu, walk in here. Samu, he was right in the doorway. He just ducked back out. Debbie Gunther, grab Samu by the arm and drag him in here. There we go. He doesn't get away. Happy birthday, brother. All right. Get up here, Sammy.
Thanks for watching Live Tree Kids.
Hooray, hooray. I don't know who was squealing. It might have been Pastor Neo. Was that you? Thank you all of the you young people and your people young in heart and people with energy. Why do good things happen? I didn't plan that, but it fits in. More appropriately, why do bad things happen? Do we have a disaster in our country? We are a first world country with first world responses and abilities beyond any other countries in the world. And 230, I heard, is that what the latest numbers are for losses of life? It's an age-old question, and of course, Jesus answered it point blank. He said, it rains on the righteous and the unrighteous, on the just and the unjust. So good and bad happens to everything, but in the Old Testament, that question was answered, and you can understand how people would go to the temple and say, why do bad things happen? And so the answer is the book of Job, and here is Job, and he is afflicted. And if you haven't read all the way through it, or if it's been a while, he is counseled by everyone, his wife and his three advisors, his friends, his colleagues, and they all tell him, curse God. Certainly God has done this, and God is doing these things to you. And Job remains faithful. Job doesn't curse God until the very end when he asks God that question, why? Why, Lord, have you done this? And you can tell that he is like all of us humans saying, why are these things happening? And there are doubts and there are questions, even when we know God is good. And Job wants to know because he just can't figure it out. So God responds to Job. He says, you can't understand. And he says, quote, where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Job wouldn't know anything about that. That's well beyond. How many of us know about laying the foundations of the universe? Creation of all things. Creation of life. Giving of life. And all the things in the air and the sea. All of the things living and breathing. How could that creation have come? How many of us know how all of that works? And yet, we do ask and we want to know. And we want to understand. God says you cannot understand. We just don't have that ability. And he is properly chastised. Job says, I have uttered what I did not understand. Things too wonderful for me, which I did not know. He acknowledges finally, all right, in my arrogance, I thought that I should understand, and you're right, I can't know how you are and how you understand or how things work. And then at the end of the book of Job, Job apologizes, returns his faith, and God restores Job's fortunes. But the reality about good and why things good things happen and why bad things happen, we don't know. We can't know entirely. It is beyond our ability to know. It reminded me, I don't know where this memory came from, but I was just a little tyke. It's been a year or two. And my folks, we were in Grand Junction, and there was a newspaper article about someone had seen this optical illusion on the side of a hill. South and east of Grand Junction, there's a hill, the road loops around there, and sagebrush and all this. You get to just the right spot, and you look up on the hill there, and you can see the perfect shape of a guitar. So we were driving in that area one day, and Dad took us over there and stopped and got out, and we walked back and forth. We found the exact spot, and Mom and Dad pointed up there. Look up there. And it was obvious. I could see it plain as day. And I said, I want to run up and get it. I'm going to crawl up there and bring it back down. I would like to have a guitar. Well, it was one of those optical illusions, you understand. Dad tried to explain that to me. It made no sense. He explained and he went on at length and he turned to me and I said, okay, but let me go get the guitar. And I was insistent and they wouldn't let me go up the hill and get the guitar and I was put out for years. I was thinking what a nice guitar that would have been. And it took a long time till I realized what an optical illusion was, and the optical illusion apparently grew and disappeared. It wasn't there very long. Or some young yahoo like me crawled up there trying to get it and destroyed it. But it's some things that we cannot comprehend. We don't know. I do know that when we are hurting, God is there for us. We don't get a busy signal. We don't get a please hold for the next available operator. Your call will be answered in the order it was received. God is with us. And God will help us through our pains. And God will help us as we help others through their pains. So this is an interesting subject that we get to. And some of you are probably asking, okay, that was in Job, so I guess that kind of ties in. But where does spiciness come into it? The title of the sermon is Spiciness. That's another term for saltiness. My term, that's the way I'm phrasing it. But you have grief and you have joy. And I contend that we cannot understand one without having experienced the other. Think about that a minute. If you have always had everything and have want of nothing, you might be kind of bored. You might be frustrated and not feel like you had enough excitement in your life. I don't know. I haven't been there. Any of you experienced that? Perfect lives with everything given to us? But I contend that we experience joy when we have known some grief as well. It is that relationship between joy and grief that Jesus is talking about in saltiness. I'll get to that in a second. Look at Job for a moment. Job was wealthy. Do you know how wealthy? We didn't read it this morning. It wasn't in the text that I had. There it goes. It's not in the text that I had Larry read this morning, but here's the summary. He had seven sons and three daughters, 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 oxen, 500 donkeys. And I was just thinking, who's going to take care of all of that mess and keep all of that straightened out? But he had very many servants. He was wealthy. He was wealthy beyond imagination. He was wealthy beyond most definitions. The term I learned when I was young was he was living high on the hog. Any of you ever heard that phrase? I won't tell you where it comes from. But when you are wealthy and you're blessed, faith is easy. Unfortunately, many of us know what that's like. We are a wealthy, blessed people. Now, sometimes we turn around and we say, well, I don't know, I still owe. I'm on my house and I'm making car payments. And the other day, somebody dinged the door on my car and I got a scrape here and there. And as we're aging, I've discovered there's this thing called, I got to call the doctor again. Can we get my prescriptions renewed? But we are a wealthy, blessed people. Do you know what? It's a miracle, but we have clean drinking water piped right to our houses. Every one of us has clean drinking water. Do you realize what a blessing that is? Do you realize how many places in the world do not have access to clean water? We take it for granted. There's a joke about we take it for granted, but I can't remember the rest of the joke. We take it for granted, yet we are a blessed people. And you know what else is funny is we read about others who are even more blessed than us, richer, wealthier, more famous. And we read about their travails and how they're not really all that happy. Think about that at the moment when you're reading about some of the celebrities and fans and all that. Many of them die very young of excess. And many of them are not as happy. They haven't got enough movie jobs. They haven't won enough football games. They haven't, this house isn't quite big. It's only $18 million mansion, but my neighbor has one that's 30, and so I'm just unhappy about it. And so it is not having things that brings wealth. We know that. And for them, it might be worth them having some grief to help them appreciate their joy. Maybe they ought to spend a month homeless living out of their car to appreciate their homes. Maybe they ought to go hungry a day or two or three. Or like North Carolina, be without water. Water is life. And here they are without, and they're not only struggling and they're in danger, but they're angry. They want to know why they're being ignored. And they aren't, but it feels like it. So the crux of my sermon about spiciness is, it's like salted and unsalted foods. Now, growing up, I always put salt on everything, plenty of salt. And as I got a little older here now, the doctors are saying, cut back on salt. It's something that in this generation, in Job's generation, in Jesus' time, they would have laughed hysterically. Cutting back on it? There isn't enough to have in the world that we need to cut back on it. And yet now, it is plentiful. But have you ever gotten a food that you're used to eating and there's no salt on it? Have you ever had French fries? You go to buy a hamburger and you get French fries and they're unsalted? Try it sometime. It will blow your mind. It is just outrageous how much we take for granted that saltiness. I might contend that it's not just salt, but spices. Having spiciness in our lives and having spice in our food and having spice in the way we live. Spiciness. In 1990, I was in my last year of seminary, and out of the blue, somehow we ended up taking a mission trip to go help build a school in Haiti. You know I pronounce it Haiti because that's the way they pronounce it. Everybody in our neck of the woods calls it Haiti, but Haiti is the native pronunciation. So we traveled there, and it turns out we landed right in the middle of a revolution. Prosperville was a dictator, and the nation united itself and kicked him out. And they put in a democratically elected person, Jean Aristide. It was amazing. We actually got to sit and interview her, talk with her, spend a couple hours one evening with her. Fabulous time. At any rate, that has nothing to do with the story and where we are, but it gives you some in background that we were in Haiti and we were there. One day we had an opportunity to travel out to the school where we were supposed to be doing our mission work. And on the road, it was lunchtime, so we were on this transport, this van, and they stopped at a roadside vending area there. And we were not allowed to get off and or buy food because they said, you don't know what to buy and what's safe. But the gal that was with us did all of that for us. And they bought and brought us, one of the things they brought were bananas. Now, I've grown up. Any of you ever tasted a banana? It's not a trick question. Have you tasted a banana? Yeah. I had two. They're come, you know, I could take it or leave it. They're bananas. What do you want to know? Fresh off the tree picked ripe banana. I have never tasted anything like that in my life. And now I'm spoiled because every other banana is just as bland can be. Lucy, is that the way it is when you go to Tonga and you get fresh off the tree stuff? Yeah. Boy, I feel sorry for you. That's rough. Just amazing. The difference is beyond your comprehension. Those of us who have never tasted the difference, yeah, maybe that's all right. You don't know what you're missing. But some things have lost their flavor. And now that banana is flavorless. It's like a filler. It just feels like styrofoam. Neil, what do you think a banana in the market today tastes like? Nothing. He's giving me this grin and this look of I'm not going to respond at all. But we have to have that vibrancy, that flavor, that richness. That's what Jesus is calling us to. It's easy to get to a point of just being bland and not having an impact on the world around you and not influencing and inspiring the way Christ inspires us. If salt has lost its saltiness, it's good for nothing but to be thrown out and to be trampled in the mud under pigs. The Lord said, let us be spicy. Let us be spicy. Let us have salt. Let us live enthusiastically. Amen? Let's have a little lunch with the Lord. What do you say? Let's turn to communion. I invite Pastor Neo to come and join. That's feedback on my microphone, Michael. I just turned it on. Sorry about that. If you're following in your hymnal, we're on page 13 on your hymnal, the Great Thanksgiving. I think Paya has it on the overhead. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and good. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, God Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. You gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, and broke the bread and gave it to his disciples and said, take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks, gave it to his disciples and said, drink from this, all of you. For this is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. And so in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice. In union with Christ's offering for us, we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come about. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory, and we feast at his heavenly banquet through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church. On all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. I invite the ushers' helpers to assist. Stand, if you will. Our closing hymn. Holly, come lead us. The gift of love. We have dined with the Lord. We have been fed by the Lord. We are fed every day. God is good.
All the time.
God is good. Amen. In the name of God, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Go in peace and celebrate. Join hands now. Let us sing our closing. People said,
Amen. Amen.